Before we get into our lesson this evening, we will be on lesson number 10. I wanted to share something. I shared this with my wife as we were coming to church tonight. This is what we know this week before the resurrection of what they call the Passion Week. And there's a pastor that I really enjoy, and he had a little article that he posted that I wanted to share with you. It's not very long. This is a week right here where, as he put it, Judas was done pretending. Listen to what he says here. This is the point in Passion Week where Judas stops hiding what he is. The betrayal is not coming out of nowhere. It has been growing in him the whole time. By now, the man who walked with Jesus is already looking for a chance to hand him over. In Matthew 26, 14 and 15, it says, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, 'What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you.' And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver." He says, read that again. One of the 12. Not a Roman, not a Pharisee in the crowd, not some stranger who hated Jesus from a distance, but one of the 12. A man can be close to Jesus and still be lost. A man can hear truth, see power, watch miracles, and still love sin more. That is Judas. And let's say it plain. Judas did not betray Christ because he was confused. He betrayed him because his heart was crooked. John 12 already showed that. He acted like he cared about the poor, but he did not care about the poor. He was a thief, Jesus said. He knew how to sound spiritual while being filthy underneath. That is not just Judas either. That is human nature dressed up in religion. A lot of people know how to talk right. They know Bible words. They know ministry language. They know how to look humble, sound compassionate, and play the part. Meanwhile, their real God is money, pride, lust, control, or the praise of men, and maybe all the above. That is why this Holy Wednesday hits so hard. It reminds you that betrayal does not always come with horns and a pitchfork. Sometimes it comes with a disciple's face, a religious mouth. Judas was around the truth constantly and still never bowed to it. And that ought to make people check themselves. Not everybody near Jesus belongs to Jesus. Not everybody in the circle is faithful. Not everybody saying, "Lord, Lord," loves him. Some people are just better actors than others. And the ugly part is how cheap it was. 30 pieces of silver? That is what a corrupt heart does. It puts a price tag on Christ. It asks, "What do I get if I give him up?" Men still do it every day. They sell truth for acceptance. They sell conviction for comfort. They sell Christ for whatever keeps their flesh fed. Judas just made it obvious. But here's the part that crushes me. Jesus knew. He was not shocked. He was not outmaneuvered. He was not a victim. He knew exactly who Judas was, exactly what Judas was doing, and exactly where all of this was going. And he still kept moving toward the cross. Jesus was not dragged into some tragic ending. He was marching straight toward the reason that he came. The traitor was moving. The priests were plotting. The silver was being counted. And the kiss was coming. And Christ kept walking. That is Holy Wednesday. Dark hearts, religious masks, a betrayal already in motion, and the Savior who kept going anyway. I just thought that was pretty interesting. He has a way of writing things. I've always enjoyed his writings. So I just thought, with it being Wednesday and the Passion Week, I'd share that. It's just spoke to my heart today. So I hope it ministered to yours in that hour. What was going on this day? We are in step number 9 for cultivating daily delight in prayer. And again, I'm reminded as we're sitting here singing these great hymns, and I'm looking up, and we're looking at the verse in Psalm 65, and the first part of it just gets me again, O thou that hearest prayer. We need to stop and not just read through these things. We need to start really thinking that the Bible is telling us that God is in heaven. He is the Almighty God. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He has all things in control. Things are not only put there by Him, but they're sustained by Him. And He takes time to hear your prayer. So the psalmist said, O thou that hearest prayer. And then he says, that's the reason why. Unto thee shall all flesh come. Have you been coming to God in prayer regularly? Because He does want to hear. And He will do a work in answering. Step number 9 is an interesting one here. As we, again, remember there's 12 steps, 5 minutes each, total hour. It's just an example to follow. You can make them longer. You can switch the order however you want to do it. It's just giving you some guidance. Number 9 is one that you wouldn't think of too often, and it's singing. Singing. The basic definition is the act of melodic worship. The word melodic simply means musical. Singing in your prayer time. Having a time where you fit in a hymn or a spiritual song or a psalm. Most of the psalms were written to be sung. Colossians through Paul talks about singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody or melodic music in your heart to the Lord, to the Lord. It's a quiet time and a time of worship. And here they're suggesting that part of that daily delight in your prayer would be this act of melodic worship. The action focus is creative adoration. Creative adoration. You are adoring Him. We just sang perhaps one of many great hymns on that last hymn. How could you not go into your prayer closet or in your seat or where you're at kneeling and have a prayer time and not take that hymn in there and not go into a place of reading it, even if you say, well, I can't sing, read the words and not go into a worship mode. Worship is huge with God. He's the one who created music. It's a part of heaven. They're still, by the way, they're still up in heaven singing about the blood. And so here we see that this should be one of the steps in your prayer time. The key word here is glorification. When I forgot to bring mine, I have a small little hymn thing. I don't have a hymn book where I look at it, but I got one. It's about this thick. This is not the one that I have at home. This one's simply called Family Time Hymn Book. You can get these for about $5 somewhere. Striving Together Publications. They got 51 hymns in it, and their goal is to get this into the hands of each family to have the families teach the next generation the great hymns of the faith. And usually what I'll do is whatever day of the week it would be, I would usually take, like today was the first, the one that I would bring in my prayer time would be A Shelter in the Time of Storm. I would either take the time to read these or to sing them to myself unto the Lord. I don't walk in there and stand before my wife. No, I don't do that. The Bible is inspired of God, and he says that we are to make a joyful noise. I just make a noise, and I got joy when I do it. Amen? I can't even play the radio. All right? So, anyway, so it could be that. So if it's tomorrow, I would be singing, "And Can It Be?" Day 3, Amazing Grace. I would fit this in. I always have this as my, I don't have it in the order number 9. This is my closing part of my prayer time, is singing or reading it. And the reason why I don't sing all the time is I can't read music. If I know the song, I can sing it. If I don't, the one I use, it's about this big. It has 50 different hymns in them, but most of them are from 1700s and 1800s. And you'd be surprised how deep the depth of some of those songs go. There's one that I love that I never knew before that's called Inside the Veil. Jesus went inside the veil, and it ends with, we get to enter into the veil now. And it's just like, wow, this is good. So I like it when it comes around, you know. And sometimes you say, well, there's not 50 days in a month. So sometimes I just read on and go ahead and go right through the whole thing each day. But folks, you ought to consider, if you're not already, you ought to consider grabbing. Don't grab any of our hymnals here, all right? We could probably buy these in bulk if there was enough people, you know. But, huh? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you access the tools. There's even some old hymns. Somebody just gave me some old hymns. Don, was it you? What? You gave me some old hymnals. Yeah. So there is. So, but this is bringing it into your prayer time. It's a time of melodic worship, adoration, glorification. Look what Martin Luther says here. He says, the gift of language combined with the gift of song is given to man that he should proclaim the word of God through music. Through music. In this area of singing, here's the biblical basis. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So maybe I should be doing this at the beginning to come into his presence with singing. I think you could do it wherever you want, amen? And I think the Lord will be pleased with it. But I think it's one that you could put in there and just take time. And some of those, I just am looking. I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise. Here's another one. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Would you be free from your burden of sin? And it's interesting, folks, sometimes the songs that you've come across is what you need on that day. Psalm 90 is a song. Yep, there's Psalm number 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. I memorized Psalm 5, 1 through 3, because it was in a song. Give ear to my words, O Lord. You want to hear me sing it? And what, I wasn't convinced enough that there was enough people. And I don't like just throwing it out there for anybody, you know. It's like, look at this other one, Psalm 27, verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. This was referring back to, actually, when David was writing about the ark being brought back to Israel. God's presence is now coming back home to be with us. Look what he says here. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You ever sing to the Lord? The psalmist says in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth with weeping bearing precious seeds shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He says, ah, there's no thinking about singing there. You cannot have rejoicing without having singing. They are linked together. As a matter of fact, I'll guarantee you find some good hymns and you sing them to the Lord and it'll change your whole spirit. It'll uplift you. Psalm 69:30. Look what the first two words are. I will. That means that it is a decision. It is a choice. I will. You will what? Praise the name of God. How? With a song. Folks, I mean, God's not saying, I want you to praise me by giving $1 million. He says, bring me a song. Everybody can bring a song. Amen. And he goes, bring me a song. You can praise me with just coming in and singing something that's biblical to me. It makes our God not too far out of reach, not a distant person, but he's wanting to draw closer to me, and I want to draw closer to you. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 22, verse 47 to 50, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avenges me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou hast also lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praise unto thy name. Here in this setting, it was a day of thanksgiving. They were praising God for who he is and what he had done for them, and they were singing to the Lord. It's interesting, when you take time and go through these verses, the passages of Scripture that we're looking at tonight, having to do with singing, notice the words that are linked with it. I just wrote down a few of them. Joy. In any of these verses, if you see singing, there's some of the verses talk about joy. They talk about gladness. They talk about praising God. They talk about being spirit-filled, about making a melody in your heart, about rejoicing, thanksgiving, and magnification. Those are all coming together when you lift up your voice to the Lord and praise him. And he will, according to our text up here, hear you. He says, I have no greater joy. This is New Testament. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. If we know that God loves to be sung to, that's amazing, isn't it? Why would we not sing to him? Make it a part of your devotional time. Here's your summary definition of singing. A time to acclaim. A time to acclaim. A-C-C-L-A-I-M. The word acclaim means to eagerly express the approval. To eagerly express approval. You're acclaiming God for who he is, what he's done, what he's doing in song. And you're doing it eagerly. I have to be honest with you. I don't battle in reading Scripture. I go and have my scriptural reading time. I go to bed and I just started for myself. I was challenged by a little book I was reading on knowing the Torah. Go back through and how well do you know the first five books of the Bible? Why don't you go back through those again, Kevin? As I'm reading this book, the author is kind of challenging you. Why don't you go back through and start going over the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Just start listening to it again. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and I don't feel like reading at nighttime because my eyes are about ready to shut down at that time. So I just put it on audio, and I'm listening to just seven chapters a night. And I figured up how long I'd be there, but it wouldn't be take too long. So you're finishing up the book of Genesis in about 7 weeks, something like that. And 5 weeks, I don't remember what it was. And so I'm just letting, before I go to bed at night, to be a time where God's speaking to me. And in the morning, I want to be speaking to him. So I have my time of prayer in the morning. I have my devotional reading, and I have my prayer. And I have to be honest with you, my favorite part is this part right here. I look forward. I save it for last, but I like looking forward to it. I don't look forward to like praying for Brother Don as I do like singing. I was just testing to see if those things are working. They are working, I can tell, huh? I do. No. She doesn't go to bed till like, about the time I'm getting up is when she's going to bed. Not that bad. She's a late person. I'm an early person. So, and she reminded me we all get the same amount of sleep. All right. Listen to this one here. This is F.B. Meyer. He says, we do not sufficiently often forget our own petty wants and anxieties and launch down our tiny tributaries until we are borne out into the great ocean of praise, which is ever breaking in music around the person of Jesus. Let a part of our private and public devotion be even dedicated to the praise of Jesus. When we shall break forth into some hymn or psalm or spiritual song, singing and praising Christ with angels and archangels and all the host of the redeemed. Folks, can you imagine? I apologize. My nose is running. My eyes are watering. I'm a miserable man. Actually, just being here just with you guys makes me kind of water up. Can you imagine singing with all the redeemed one day? I mean, it's a number that no man can number, the Bible says.
What's the angels?
Don, just let me talk. You have, this Sunday, Don's going to be teaching Sunday school. You have all your time right there, brother. No, you can speak up. All the saints at one time with glorified bodies, which means if we have glorified bodies, we have glorified voices. Now, with that, go ahead and say something, brother. Egg me on here. Now, as we are singing as that great congregation, because the Bible tells us that Jesus is going to be singing in the midst of the congregation. Is that correct? In Hebrews, I believe, is that he will be with us in the great congregation singing. With us. We won't just be singing about him, we'll be singing about him with him. Because, by the way, he's alive. Amen. And then all of a sudden, we're going to break off. And one side, all the people are going to be singing one thing, and we're going to break off into another group of people singing, but it's not going to be people. It's going to be angels. Folks, the angels sing. If you don't believe me, go ask the shepherds. I think they were singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill to men. Anybody ever heard the Hallelujah chorus? The angels sang that first. Angels from the realms of glory, they wrote it. It's going to be amazing, folks. Remember, eye hath not seen, right? And ear has not heard. I think, and I'm maybe going too far now, but I think when we get there, we will even maybe see music. Imagine her up here playing the piano. You can see it coming out.
I'm wondering if there's more notes than just a seven-note scale.
Probably, maybe, who knows, seven's a number of perfection. More is not always better, right? If it's perfect. But there might be. I know that there's more than seven because I sing most of them that are not in the seven, all right? Back to our stuff here. I'm sorry. I'm ready to go. I can see where Paul says to depart is far better. Singing a prayer. Here's that prayer application. Worship with song. There's your blank. Worship with song. There was a time when I was working chemical factory. Do y'all believe that there are guardian angels? They are ministers of God that are sent forth to minister to the saints. There was a time, this was years ago before I went into the ministry, where I was at a place where I was feeling so close to God. And this is in the workplace, not even at home. This is in the workplace. I was feeling so close to God for a long period of time that I started thinking, I wonder, and I know the Bible talks about against the worshiping of angels because there's only one that's worthy, and that's the Lord himself. Even the angel, John fell down before the angel. Angel picked him up and says, worship God. But isn't it just... since we're talking about angels anyway, isn't it going to be interesting to find out who your angel was that was watching over you? Huh? I know I'm probably getting off track here. But don't you think that would be kind of cool? You don't act like it. I just think it's going to be neat. I'm probably going to put myself in trouble here, but I actually would talk to my angel. Now, I didn't know what his name was, and I didn't call him by name, but hey, I talked to some of you guys, and you're not angels, amen? I just am looking forward to that day. I'll tell you what, it's going to be a great day. And you can have, and the thing is we are talking about, I'm talking about in a funny way, we kind of look forward to these things, but I'll tell you what, we don't even have to look forward to it. We could be enjoying them right now in a quiet time that is just the Lord is blessing. Part of the problem why we aren't enjoying them like we should is that we are not Spirit-filled. Being filled with the Spirit, singing to yourselves. Look what he says here. This is our last quote here. This is by a young lady. Most have heard of her name, Amy Carmichael. Listen to what she says. She says, I sing the doxology and dismiss the devil. I believe truly that Satan cannot endure it, and so slips out of the room, more or less, when there is a true song. See, she thinks like I do. And if you don't think that that's a true statement, it's actually what she just said there has biblical foundation. Because King Saul had an evil spirit that would come upon him, did he not? And that evil spirit would come upon him, and they would call and bring in David, and David would play the harp. And it said it would drive the spirit away. That's biblical. If you feel like there's oppression taking place, start singing. He'll slip out, like she says. There was a survey, it wasn't a survey, where there was a test done where they were working in, I can't remember if it was a prison, I think it was a prison where there's a tendency of, you know how prisons can get pretty loud and rambunctious and stuff, and people getting agitated, and they were watching how the spirit of the cellmates were, and then somebody suggested playing music, and they simply took a CD and put harp music on there, and they played harp music for quite some time, and they noticed that the level of violence reduced greatly. That's a true test. One of the things I knew as when we were young, that in our home we always had good quality Christian music playing. Did we not? Our kids were under it. Our daughter, she's pretty, when she was little, was pretty high strung, energetic, everything. You put on certain Christian music, that girl would go over at the age, how old was she, 3, 4, something like that, 2? She'd be, you know, running around, going on the ceilings and everything, you know, and you'd put that music on, and she'd run over, get up on the couch, stick her thumb in her mouth, and just bounce and listen. That's what it would do to some of it. We need some of it. Some of us need that, huh? Just the old thumb and bouncing some good godly music. It soothes you. It does something inside. Here's the last thing, singing. Here's the life application. Do something extra special. And that is, if you're not singing in your quiet time, in your prayer time, man, you could even download some off of the thing and print them out and sing them. But include that in. Worship and song. Here's what we have. Where to next? Here's some steps here. Number one, pause in your devotional hour to sing a specific song unto the Lord. Take the time. Then select a special theme for your song, such as praise or thanksgiving or a favorite passage of Scripture. Thirdly, ask the Holy Spirit to create, this is interesting, an original melody in your heart. So your song is truly a new song. David said in Psalm 40, David says that he pulled me up out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and put a new song in my heart. Not a new sound, a new song. Number four, don't hesitate to sing songs of thanksgiving or specific blessings or victories that you believe God will give you in the days ahead. That's praying and thanking Him in advance before it comes, because you're knowing it's in His will. I went to a very brief conference before we went down to Pensacola for just a 2-day, went down where Brother Knickerbocker's at, and they had a thing going down there. And I went into one of the breakout meetings, and the brother there was very, very knowledgeable, a lot more knowledgeable than I was about music. And he was getting into the area where he believes that Christians should really take time to see if they could, by God's leading, write some hymns. We talk about contemporary music. We're not talking about that kind out there that's worldly. We're talking about stuff that's being written today in our time. Every hymn, no matter how old it was, at one point in time, was contemporary. It was in its time with those people there. And so he was just challenging. He goes, it may start out with, he goes, where you just think of some words. He goes, don't take it for granted when you're working or something. Write it down. See if it's something that God's giving you as a seed to begin to write something for Him from you. And I never thought about doing that before. Don't hesitate, he says. Allow the Holy Spirit to create an original melody in your heart. Pass over on the last one. Ponder why singing to the Lord falls into the category of specialized praise. Some Bible scholars believe that references in the Psalms to offering high praises could refer to singing praises to the Lord. What do you think that might qualify as? What do you think would qualify as high praise? And then our prayer points down below. Select a favorite passage of Scripture. You could select Psalm 23. Pick one that you're familiar with. If you can't think of a passage, use Psalms such as Psalm 23, 27, 63, Psalm 5, Psalm 90. And then it says, now as you look at the words in this passage, begin to softly hum a melody from your heart. And after humming for a few minutes or moments, sing out the words of the passage that you have selected. Anybody ever make up your own little tune? Raise your hand if you had, just out of curiosity. So the rest of you are out of tune, right? This is something new, isn't it, for a lot of people? God's trying to stretch us sometimes. We stay in our little Christian boxes, and we don't go outside of those. And we wonder why we get bored sometimes. Come out of that box. Tonight, I'm not going to ask you to write a song, but I want you to consider thinking about writing something. When you get all done, maybe get a verse or two or three. We'll read it. I don't have a problem doing that. We'll let you read it because you'll know what the melody is. Amen? So tonight what we're going to do, we're going to all stand together. And usually we break up for prayer. We're going to do something different. We're just going to stand up and sing tonight. We're going to stand up and sing one song. So go ahead and rise, O church, arise. You think the Lord has a sense of humor? He does. I believe he does. But he gave it to man. Isn't it going to be cool when we all get to heaven? We could sing about that song too, couldn't we? Imagine when we all get there, multitudes upon multitudes, and all of a sudden God goes, okay, there was a group of people one Wednesday night that were learning a song. We're going to have them come up and sing for all the people in heaven. We'll have a glorified voice, and you'll be bold and courageous. You'll walk up there like, we're ready, you know. Nah, she'll probably be harping it or something like that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thanks for coming out tonight. Add some song to your life, amen? But sing it to the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord that you give us, which is, you said, our strength. Lord, help us not to be weak Christians. Help us to be strong Christians. Help us to be joy-filled Christians. Pray, Father, that you'll just give us safety now as we head out. Give us a safe trip home. Bring us through this week, dear Father, with a spirit of enthusiasm, dear Father, for you and for those that are around us. May we invite people to come Sunday. May we not just be settled with the one that we might have invited. May we just invite many. And may your house be full, dear Father, and that we would have a great day this Lord's Day. We'll just be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.